Praise the Lord. Praise God. I feel like my mic is really hot right now. Ultra sensitive. But I trust the engineers in the back to make the proper adjustments. Amen. Welcome to this evening live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I'm glad that you are joining us now. Partake in this evening Bible study. It'll be a brief Bible study. And before we get too far ahead, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, we worship you. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you so much for everyone who's joining us right now on the live stream and everyone who is here right now. In your house, Father, we bless you, Lord, for their lives. Thank you, Lord, so much for being here with us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. And as I always say, Lord, may your people hear your voice. May they see you, Lord, personally. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. The title to this evening's Bible study is called Rekindling the Fire. Amen. Can it be said of us that we all have a burning desire to serve the Lord? My wish, it is for it to be so. Has the desire to serve God, to serve the Lord, to do His will, to please Him, to go out of your way, to go the extra mile, ever been something that you have experienced, are experiencing, or are working on? There are several instances in the Bible that someone, just about went through that. One example that I want to show you is Psalms 39, verses 3. It says, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." How about that? The fire literally burned inside of David's heart. How about that? Have you ever experienced this type of feeling? And I'm not talking about heartburn. This is not the same thing. Totally different. It could be towards someone that you love. It could be towards your boss, wanting to please your superiors, to have a good name, whatever the case might be. This is what we're seeing David going through. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, these words. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Wow. The fire burned in Jeremiah's heart right now is what the Word of God says. Right? All these men of God had a zeal towards the things of God. All of these men of God had a fire inside of them that they could not control. Luke wrote this in Luke chapter 24, verses 32. And it said, "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scripture to us. Wow. Do you see the connecting dot between these three verses? The common denominator. It seems as though when you have that crave, that zeal, when you have that celestial thing inside of you, it's burning inside of you. It's almost like an internal heat. Again, I say, it's not heartburn. Neither am I going to say it's like heartburn, because heartburn is not comfortable. Nonetheless, the disciples developed a burning spiritual passion upon learning the resurrection story, right in this particular situation. And most of us have had that fire in our hearts. Most of us have. We have had a burning desire to work for the Lord and to advance His cause. But sometimes we let that fire go out, as they did back in the very first century. Now, in Revelations chapter 2, in the first few verses in Revelations chapter 2, our Lord is addressing the church in Ephesus. And this is what it says, Revelations 2, 1 through 3. And it says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These are some pretty nice statements to say, wouldn't you say? If the Lord was saying these things to you, man, I think I would hit the floor. I would be like, yes, Lord, absolutely. The Lord our God observed many commendable attributes regarding them. They worked with patience. And patience, what's the term? Patience is a virtue. Patience is virtue. Patience is a virtue. It's hard. You got to work on it. They abhorred evil. They tested their teachers for the truth. They were on top of their game. They had borne discipleships in the congregation. They had not grown weary of doing good works. They were there faithful, step by step, ongoing. And a lot of times, we start out this way. A lot of times we become a new believer. We have the joy of the Lord. We just received the deliverance. We just received the healing. This happened or that happened. And now you're going full steam. And you want to do everything, right? However, just the very next verse, our Lord Jesus says this in verses 4. Revelation 2, 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And this is what I want to talk about this evening. Rekindling the fire. If this question applies to any of you here, or if you're watching this right now on the live stream, I want you to ask the question right now. Is your fire still burning for the Lord? It is a simple question. It is an honest question. You are not on trial. We're not putting you on the stand. I just want you to do a self-observation. Because it's very easy for us to be derailed, for us to be caught up with this and caught up with that, with our new job, with our new wife, or our new husband, our new responsibility, things in life, and oftentimes we forget, we slip away, it's not a priority anymore. Here in the verse that we just read, it is estimated that the church at Ephesus was more than 40 years old at the time when this was written in the book of Revelations. From its beginning, it had manifested a spirit of enthusiasm, a spirit of activity and devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus perceived a decay of their love, a deterioration of their love for Him. Now, do you remember Laodicea? How could we not forget? Revelations 3, verses 15 and 16, please. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And now I venture to say, not hot anymore. Not cold, not hot, neither. They're just there, lukewarm. May we learn a lesson from these examples that we are reading about right now. May we all need to work on rekindling the fire. May we never slip away from the truth, from the obedience, from the zeal, the love that we have for the Lord our God. And now, potentially you might be asking, how is it that I know? How can I go about it, Pastor? How to recognize when the fire is about to go out? Well, I want to give a few examples of how we can see when things are starting to dwindle. First of all, when you see a reduction in the involvement in the house of God. A reduction of so many things. Some of the things that I have is quitting to teach the Word of God, or quitting to be a part of the evangelistic team, or a part of the cleaning crew, or any of the above. Sometimes I can see when people start to slack off and they're not a part of the sort of the team anymore. They used to come to these meetings, but now they don't. They used to attend this evening service, but then they don't anymore. Not involved in the Lord's work like they should be, like how they have been. But it is hard to see it for ourselves. And now this is the reason why I'm sharing this with you, so that now you can take the moment and evaluate yourself as far as, is my love for the Lord as hot as it once used to be? Spiritual involvement, spiritual strength cannot be replenished by less involvement. I can guarantee you that. If in case you feel as though you are depleted, you're diminished, your love is dwindled, less involvement, it's not going to get you to back to where you were. Reduction in spiritual hunger, that hunger, that thirst for righteousness, like the Bible says. Sometimes people have the attitude of, I have to, instead of, I want to. There is a difference. Do you feel as though when pastor asks you to do something or when someone asks you to do something, it feels like it's labor? It feels as though I have to do it because I was told to do it and I can't wait till it's finished because I have to go watch the game. Or I got to go home, take a nap. Or I'm hungry. Or whatever the case might be. Or do you have that feeling, I want to do this? Do you think about the Lord when you do it? Are you happy? There was a time for years, for several years, a few years. I've said this a couple of times before that I cleaned the sanctuary. It started on the trailer before we built this building. Excuse me. I used to come once a week. And man, I made sure I covered every square inch of the floor, every square inch of the bathroom. And now moving on to the new sanctuary after we built this place. Every single time I come here, I start praying. And mind you, this is my initial walk with God. I knew the Lord all my life, but I was gone for a while. So I'd put on my headphones, I'd be listening to Christian music. When I wasn't listening to anything, I would just pray as I'm running the vacuum or pray as I'm cleaning the bathrooms. And if there's any spot, if I'm gone somewhere and I'm walking and I see something on a spot, I go and I go right over again. Not because I was being paid to do it. Not because it was my job. But it meant something far greater than what the eye can see. I proceeded things as though I was doing it for someone that I love. And when you do something for someone you love, you care a little bit more about it, right? I can taste whenever somebody adds a little bit of love on the food that they make. And I'm sure you can too. You could taste the love in a dish. We all can. It's undeniable. So nonetheless, when we have that attitude of, do I have to do this? Do I have to? Instead of, do I want to? That is a clear sign that potentially your love needs to be rekindled. Do I have to go to Sunday morning worship session? Can I just come for the preaching? I want to sleep in a little bit. Do I have to be part of the worship? That is not the Christian way of thinking, if I may say politely. But nonetheless, we must hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. There is a blessing behind that. Matthew 5:6, please. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a tremendous blessing when we keep that fire going, when we don't quench the Holy Spirit, when we don't suppress the Holy Spirit. There's a blessing behind it. And may we always have this hunger and thirst for the things of God, to please God. We must hunger in order to grow and be involved. We must feed the Spirit with spiritual things. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, please. And it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Hallelujah. praise God. You know what I call this spiritual food that we just finished reading? I would call it soul food. This is the real soul food right there. Absolutely. Without this food, the Word of God, our spirit man dies. Without it, we're going down. And when worldly things, the things that you're going through at home, the things you're going through at work, whatever the case might be, choke the Word of God, and the hunger is gone, then you know that you are drifted. Then you know that you are apart, that you are away, and the gospel dies out. This is how you know. Can I please have Mark 4:19, please? And it says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Right now, a lack of will and motivation is what I am focusing right now. A lack of want to please God. Potentially you might be feeling down and you don't know why. When you no longer feel motivated, then you know that the fire is going out and you are drifting away. We don't simply just fall. We oftentimes just simply drift away. My final verse for this evening will come from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It is very important that we keep the fire kindled. It is very important that we remain grounded. Grounded in the house of God. Grounded with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Surround yourself with people that will lift you up. Lift your spirits up. Create a habitual prayer life. All these things will keep the fire going and going. I'm going to continue this next Sunday. And I'm going to start talking about why we need to rekindle the fire and how to rekindle the fire. Amen, church? Amen. Praise God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the times when the Holy Spirit just gives us a little push, a little poke in saying, hey, where have you been? I thank you, Lord, that he speaks to every single one of us in love. And may we, Lord, listen and hear what the Spirit is saying, Father. And may we be obedient to your word and to your Spirit. I ask, Lord, that we can all reanalyze ourselves and ask ourselves, what can we do, Lord? What can we do more for your kingdom? To worship you, to please you, to bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given us. May we use it, Lord, for the honor and glory of your name. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.